If you can leave your Bibles open, but also in your news sheets as you came in, there would be an outline, and that may be quite helpful. Do you feel like you're only just hanging in there as a Christian? Or you're not even sure anymore? Are you a Christian? I hope so. The Bible teaches us that it is massively tough being a Christian because there's huge pressures on us. And it shouldn't surprise us that you, like me, we really struggle. And it's a real battle being a Christian sometimes. And sometimes we think, I don't know if I can keep going. The Bible teaches us that as we hear the Word of God, we receive it with joy, but then suffering can come along. And it's incredibly tough. All persecution comes because of the Word of God. And it's a battle. Or you hear the Word of God, and then the cares of the world come. And you start to be worn down by life. You stuff up again. You think, am I really a Christian? Or you hear the Word of God, and then the deceitfulness of riches come. Or the desires of other things. And they come up and they choke the Word. And to make matters worse, it's not just a struggle against temptation, but it's actually a spiritual battle. Because we're taught as the Word of God goes out, Satan is always there, ready to snatch it away. And there's a real danger that we give up. I've failed again. Surely I can't be a Christian. What I'm going through is so tough and it hurts so much, I don't know if I can hold on any longer. Or I'm getting so much stick for being a Christian, I don't know if I can handle being the odd one out all the time. Is it worth it? These are real struggles, but not just for new Christians. Sometimes it's harder the longer we go as Christians, as these struggles start to wear us down. Sometimes we think, I'm not sure if I've got the energy anymore. There is a real danger that we give up. You might be thinking, you're spot on. It is so true. This is me right now. Well, what can I say to encourage you? To keep you going so you hang in there? A hand on the shoulder? Just those words, hang in there, mate. Will that do it? What can I say? How about you, for your Christian mates, as you see them struggle? What can you say? What would you say? See, it mightn't be today, but let's fast forward a few months to April next year. Your friend has headed off to Wellington and they're at uni there. They ring you up. They're away from their mates. They're away from church and they're feeling lonely. Their new friends are saying, hang out with us. You know, let your hair down, live a little. No one will know. And they confess that they're struggling. Not just they're struggling, they've made a few mistakes. And they've told you they're not actually sure if they're Christian anymore. What do you say? How can you encourage them in the faith? How can we encourage each other? Well, come with me to the first 10 verses of this letter to the Thessalonians. Because in these verses, we actually see what real encouragement looks like. And as we see what real encouragement looks like, we'll actually be equipped in how to encourage each other. As we turn to these verses, I want you to listen carefully, because before this week, you know, I was pretty sure I knew what encouragement was. I thought, yeah, I know how to do it. I know how to get alongside someone who's struggling. Yeah, I think I know how to encourage someone in tough times. I've done it lots of times. But I've been challenged, actually rebuked by this passage, because I had it all wrong. And I've seen that my words, even though I've tried to encourage a Christian friend, that my words have actually done more harm than good. And I've actually said things with the intention of encouraging, but it's probably led them to be discouraged or even damaged. As we look at this passage, let me pray that God tonight will encourage us through his word and also teach us as we encourage our Christian brothers and sisters. Let me lead us as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you speak to us through your word. And for those of us tonight who feel like we're on the verge of giving up, Father, we pray that you will encourage us and you will comfort us. For those of us who do not know you tonight, through your gospel, we pray that you will open their eyes to see your grace and mercy. For those of us right now who stand alongside Christian friends who are struggling, we pray that you will teach us in how to encourage them. And teach us how to serve our struggling Christian brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. 1 Thessalonians. We're starting the series tonight. And Paul is on his second missionary trip. He's wanting to go back and visit those churches, visit those new Christian converts from the first trip, and also to go to new towns in the region and share with them the wonderful message of Jesus. To get in there and tell these people that Jesus is the one who brings peace with God. That Jesus is the Christ. That Jesus, although he died on the cross, God rose him to life again. And Paul was saying, I've seen him. He is the Christ. He is the King who's going to come back in glory. He's going to be judge. Paul's on his second missionary trip. And as he travels round with this wonderful message of the gospel, he picks up a few travelling partners. The first bloke was Silvanus. He joined Paul at the start of his trip. And just a little aside here, the Bible writer Luke refers to him by his Greek version of his name, Silas. So Silvanus, Silas, it's the same bloke. But as they travelled along, Paul, Silas, Silvanus, was joined by Timothy. Timothy was a keen Christian bloke in the town of Lystra, and he joined the team, and the three of them travelled together. They travelled together, and where they had opportunity, they would speak about Jesus. And as they spoke, their message spurred reaction. In the town prior to Thessalonica, Paul and Silas were severely flogged and thrown into prison. And in Thessalonica, Paul, Silvanus and Timothy, they could only stay there for 3 Sabbath days. That's 3 Saturdays. Most likely just over a fortnight. It was a whirlwind visit before they were chased out of town by an angry mob. Only 16 days, and they were gone. They were there briefly, and then they disappeared, but what they left was lasting. In that short period of time, these guys together shared the message of Jesus, the good news. They would go into the synagogue, and they would show the people. They would open up the scriptures and reason with them. And they would prove to them that the Christ had to suffer, that he had to suffer and be raised from the dead, and that Jesus from Nazareth was the Christ. And as we heard in our first Bible reading, Acts 17 verse 4, as they spoke about Jesus, a small number of Jews, a bigger group of Greeks, and a significant number of prominent women were persuaded that Jesus was the Christ. And they believed. And they moved across from the synagogue and they started following Paul and his mates. And it's this group, small group of Jews, bigger group of Greeks, these prominent women, that this letter, 1 Thessalonians, is written. And just imagine the pressure that these new Christians are under. They've just heard about Jesus, they're convinced it's true, and they've turned from their old ways to start following Jesus. And that's a massive thing in itself, but now they had no leaders, no teachers. They've been chased out of town. And now they had to live in this town where the thugs lived. And now in their hometown, they themselves were under persecution for trusting in Jesus. So Paul, Silvanus and Timothy were worried about their Christian friends they left behind. Worried about how this brand new bunch of Christians were going. So they decided together to write to them, to encourage them in their faith. Turn with me, 1 Thessalonians 1 to 10. Verse 1. Paul, Silas and Timothy. In the opening line they say, "G'day, guys, it's us. Remember us?" They welcome them. See what they say? Look at the structure with me. In verse 1, they greet the church, these Christians. In verses 2 and 3, they say, "We pray for you." Us three, we keep you in our prayers. And we give thanks to God because of you. And then verses 4 to 10, they recall those first days. How the Thessalonians received the powerful, life-changing message of the gospel. Have a look in verse 5. It says, "Our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction." And they recall how these people not only received the message, but how the message changed them. And how they encouraged others. See, as we just skim through the structure is typical of Paul's missionary letters. But what I want to show you tonight is how Paul, Silas and Timothy very intentionally use these opening 10 verses to encourage their Christian brothers. And they do so in three ways. They encourage them by reminding them that they are Christian. They encourage them, secondly, by reminding them that God is at work in them. And thirdly, they encourage them by reminding them that God is working through them. I'm not sure if you noticed it when it was first read, but Paul, Silvanus and Timothy go to great lengths to remind the Thessalonians that they are Christian. Have a look with me in verse 1. See, Paul, Silas and Timothy, to the church of Thessalonians who are in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. See, they don't say to the group in Thessalonica. They remind them of who they are. That they are God's church. They are God's people. Through faith in Christ, they are now God's people. Together, they are His. They are united together in God. And they are united together through the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. See, He reminds them of who they are. They're not just a social group gathering together, but through faith in Christ, they are His people. They are God's church. Skim your eyes down to verse 4 because it continues. It says, "For we know, brothers, loved by God, that He has chosen you." That's right. You guys are brothers. In Christ, as you trust Him, He makes you brothers. Brothers with Christ. You are co-heirs with Him. You share in the benefits of Christ. You are brothers with Him. But also corporately, you are brothers. Through faith in Christ, He has bonded you together. Corporately. And together with us. We are brothers. But not just brothers. We are those who are loved by God. See, He reminds them of who they are. They are loved by God. And He's not saying that God doesn't love other people, but as Christians, they not only know about God's love, but they firsthand have experienced the immeasurable love of God. You are loved by God. He loves you so much that He allowed His Son to stand in your place and take your punishment. You are loved from God. See, He reminds them of who they are. As Christians, He reminds them that they are His church. As Christians, He reminds them that they are brothers. As Christians, guys, you are loved by God. And fourthly, as Christians, He reminds them that they are chosen by God. Paul reminds these Christians of that wonderful truth that each of them have been personally chosen by God to be His. See, Paul, Silvanus and Timothy encourage their Christian brothers by reminding them that they are Christian. Hang on a second. You might be thinking, you know, you might be a Christian and a little skeptical. You go, hang on a second. You've just made some huge claims. That these people are declaring that these guys are God's church. That they are chosen by God. How can Paul and his mates make such claims? Come down with me to verse 5 and 6. They can make these claims because the message of Jesus is a powerful and life-changing message. See it there? The wonderful gospel came to them in power in the Holy Spirit. And what happened? Verse 6 is they received the word with joy in the Holy Spirit. Despite being beaten, they heard the word of God, the wonderful news of life, and they accepted it with joy, and they were changed. How are you guys going? just hanging in there as a Christian? Feel like you're running out of steam? Can I encourage you by reminding you again that if you trust in Jesus, then you are Christian. And this means that you are his church. You are his people through the Lord Jesus Christ. That you are brothers. You are brothers with Christ. You are co-heirs with him. His inheritance has been won for you. And that you personally have been loved by God. You might not feel like it. I know there can be tough times. But can I gently remind you that he has shown you that he loves you on the cross at Calvary. See, whether you feel like it or not, you are chosen by God to be his. That's a wonderful encouragement to be reminded of who we are as Christians. I've heard it said that ministers are employed to remind Christians that they're Christian. And I think that's very much true. See, the Thessalonians are encouraged, firstly because they are reminded that they're Christians. But now, secondly, they are encouraged by being reminded that it is God who is working in them. Have a look with me at verses 2 and 3. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labour of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. See, what three specific things do they thank God for? In verse 3, they thank God for the Thessalonians' work, for their labour, and for their steadfastness. Three things, yet their work, their day-to-day actions, well, it's just the fruit of their faith. It's their faith in Christ which drives them to do these things. And their labour of love, this is most likely their hard work, their tiresome work of caring for the other Christian brothers. Well, it's only driven by love. And their steadfastness, their ability to persevere, to hang in there, even though they're getting beaten? Well, this is all due to their confidence in the certainty of knowing that Jesus will return. Their hope. See, do you get it? Each of these actions are just the fruits of their Christian life, of their faith, of their love, of their hope. And did you notice who is praised for their actions? Because it's not the Thessalonians. They give thanks to God. He is praised, and rightly so, because he is the one who is at work in their lives. And so Paul encourages the Thessalonians by reminding them that God is at work in them. You may be thinking that you're a hopeless Christian. But can I encourage you as you battle away that it is the Lord who is at work in your life? See, as you choose not to do the things that you know you shouldn't do, praise God because he's at work in your life. See, as you turn up to church to encourage each other, don't start thinking you're super spiritual, but give thanks to God because he is at work in your life. See, as you make that uncomfortable decision at work not to compromise. Don't think of yourself as morally superior in some way, but give thanks to God and be encouraged that He is at work in your life. The Thessalonians are encouraged by being reminded they are Christians, by being reminded that God is at work in them. And thirdly and lastly, the Thessalonians are encouraged by being reminded that God is at work through them. Come down to verse 7. See, as they trust in God's word, even though they suffer, God uses them and He's at work. He uses them. He uses their lives as an example to spur others on. We see that there as the other Christians in Macedonia and Achaia are built up, are strengthened in their faith through their example. But not only that, have a look in verse 8 to 10. We see that through them, as they live out their Christian life, God is at work using their lives to further His gospel. See, did you hear about those Thessalonians? Man, they've changed. See their lives? Did you hear they are... See what they're doing? Did you hear they're actually trying to serve God? I wonder what that means. What I love about verse 8, this seems to be news to the Thessalonians. Seems to be that they had no idea that their lives were being used to help serve the gospel in this way. And that's so often the case. The average Christian family. Just recently, this Christian family, they were struggling in their Christian lives. Did they have it all together? No. But they just battled on. They weren't flash. And their neighbour was noticing. There's something different about those people. See their family lives? Did you notice how the parents related together? And so that neighbour drags her whole family to church to find out more. Or the nurse is at work and she cops the ongoing digs by her unbelieving workmates. She enjoys work, but the work environment, her colleagues, it's a constant struggle. She feels like she doesn't fit in. Everyone else at work heads out to the pub on Friday night after work. She goes for a little while. She tries to fit in. But she's continually hassled for not kicking on late, not joining in what the others are doing. And there's always a little stir in her direction. Just a little joke. Then one of the colleagues says, out of the blue, "You always take it so well. You know, we hassle you for being a Christian. But do you know what? I kind of admire your bravery." I've been thinking to myself for a while, why do you go to church? You may be thinking you're the world's worst Christian. But while you're battling away, while you're trying to trust in Jesus, while you're just hanging in there, as you serve Him, remember that God is at work and be encouraged, because He uses you to make His name known. Well, what have we seen in these opening verses of this letter? Well, Paul with his mates take time to encourage their fellow Christian brothers and sisters in Christ. They encourage. But did you see how they did it? So remember when I opened this evening and I said how this passage has rebuked me? How in the past, with best intentions, I've sought to encourage, but in hindsight, I reckon I've stuffed it up. See, there's times when I've sought to encourage, and I've put the hand on the shoulder, and I've said these words. Hang in there, mate. Hang in there. Keep going. And I've tried to encourage, but now I actually see that those words can be unhelpful or even discouraging or even damaging. Why? Because as I say those words, just hang in there, what am I telling them to do? I'm telling them to just try a bit harder. Where is their confidence? Where am I telling them to put their confidence? I think I'm telling that struggling person, just trust in yourself. Try a bit harder. That is so different to what real encouragement is. See, real encouragement, that stuff that is going to sustain our faith, is when we are bold enough to encourage our friends to look back and to remember what God has done. When we are bold enough to speak and to remind them of what Christ has done for us. To remind them that they are Christian. That they too are His church. That they are chosen. They are brothers. They are loved. It's having the boldness to remind them to look and see that God is at work through His Word and Spirit for His glory. See, real encouragement is having the boldness to point that people back to God. It is God-focused. And because it is God-focused, it actually works. And it sustains. See, it reminds us, it strengthens us, and it gives us confidence. It gives us confidence because it reminds us of who we have confidence in. See, as your Christian friend is struggling, or as you stuff up again, as we point you back to Christ, as we remind you of who you are, you can be confident, not in yourself, because you fail, but in His faithfulness. You might be thinking, I'm so weak at times. But I want to remind you that you can be confident in your salvation because He is powerful. You might be thinking, I fail so often as a Christian. Let me remind you that you can be confident even though you fail, He is reliable. He has done it. See, real encouragement is pointing people back to God. And this real encouragement, even in immense times of suffering and hardship, what does it do? It always results in praise to God. You might be doing it tough, thinking, I don't know if I can keep going. We need to encourage each other of who we are, of what God is doing in us, and that God is working through us for His glory. We need to get alongside our friends. Not just to put a hand on their shoulder, but to be bold enough and speak and remind them of what Christ has done for us. And as we do that, we encourage. And as we encourage, we don't trust in ourselves, but we remember what God has done and we praise Him. Let me lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful message. Thank you for your gospel that has the power to change lives. Thank you for your gospel that has brought us from death to life as we trust you. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for Paul and his mates as they've encouraged their friends. Thank you that they reminded them that they are Christian. Thank you for the wonderful encouragement that it's been for us. And Father, we pray that this passage will help us as we minister to our friends. And Father, help us to be bold enough to speak, to remind our friends of the wonderful things that you've done for us and for the wonderful things that you are doing amongst us. And help us to encourage each other and trust not in ourselves, but in your strength alone. Amen.